Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. But are you guys ready for the word? Ready for the word. Staff and I were talking a while back. What are we going to do on Super Bowl? And I said, let's do faith, family, and football. So we've got a lot of sections here to cover, but I'm going to try to get us out of here with just God's help. Holy Spirit, help. Amen. You know he is the helper, right? So that's what I do when I need help. You guys should try it. It totally works. You know, I do this all the time. Like, do you ever lose your keys? You should pray. Most people turn the house upside down, then they're like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, find my keys. And I always just stop and I go, Holy Spirit, you're smarter than me. You see everything and you know everything. How many of you do this? Yeah, and then, you know, he helps us find it. So anyway, side note. I want to start today with faith. This is going to be pretty basic. I have a lot of scripture. I don't know if I'll get to all of it. But faith is important. It's more important than anything else in your life. Faith. I want to lay a foundation for faith. What it is, why it's important, and some promises with it. Faith, biblical faith, has an object. And the object of our faith is God. It's God and his promises. And this kind of faith is most clearly defined in Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. It's one of my favorite 1:1:1 verses. If those of you who know me know that's one of my life numbers. It's 1:1:1. But in Hebrews 11, we find what's called the definition of faith and all of those who made it into the hall of faith. There will be people, football players, all kinds of people that make it into halls of fame. And in our lifetime, we may not make it into an earthly hall of fame. But in heaven, you're famous. If you have faith, you're famous. And heaven is taking note of your faith. And I want to just say this. One of the most important verses, two verses my dad taught me, besides Isaiah 9 of who Jesus is that we live, how? By faith. We live by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible talks about nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible with God. But it says, to him who, what? Believes. So, it's impossible to please God without faith. There's an impossibility in the word right there. But all things are possible to the person who has faith, who believes. So what is this faith? I like subtitles. I always say pay attention to the subtitles. And this subtitle says the triumphs of faith. Faith will cause you to triumph. Where everyone else around you is failing, it will cause you to triumph. Verse 11, or verse 1 of chapter 11 says this, now faith is the assurance. I'm going to stop right there. Faith is the assurance. There are so many people that want assurance about things. They want assurance about God. They want assurance about heaven. They want assurance about this. They want an assurance of things. But you will never have the assurance without the faith. How many of you at one time didn't believe and then you just decided to simply believe and all of a sudden you felt assurance come into your heart? Amen? People say, how do you know? You say, I know because I have faith. Many people want the assurance before the faith, but don't work like that. You've got to have the faith first, and then the assurance comes. Now, faith is the assurance, and I love this. It's the title deed. Now, when you get the title deed, that means you own it. right? When you don't have the title deed, you're still in debt. Someone else holds the title. But Jesus paid the whole thing for you. Amen? And he has given you a title deed with your name on it that says, owner of a mansion in heaven, owner of salvation, owner. You become an owner. You own it once you have faith. How do you know you own it? When you don't see the title deed. It is invisible, but it is in here, visible in here. Understand? You have a title deed. Watch this. It's confirmation. It's confirmation. Now, what? Of things hoped for. I like this. Divinely guaranteed. It's and the evidence. Watch this. This will mess with you. So you have a divine guarantee. You have a title deed. You have a confirmation. You know, when you book a hotel, like, you get a confirmation, and you get a confirmation number. And when you go there to stay, they go, what's your confirmation number? As long as you got the confirmation number, you got the room. You have access. Amen? So how do we get the confirmation? How do we get the title deed? How do we get the divine guarantee? By faith. By faith. How do I know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Chase? How do I know? Because you believe. You have confessed your belief. It's not because you worked hard and you went to a bunch of, you know, spiritual classes and you went through all these things. Disciplines are great, but none of those things can save you. I know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because I have heard you say out loud, I believe in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth right now that Jesus is my Lord. So, you know, as soon as I hear that, I'm like, his name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Everything that God says that is Chase's, he has a title deed for it. He can produce it. It has his name on it. It's been signed off by heaven. It has your name. It doesn't have a lien holder anymore. I love to teach on faith because it took me a little while. And now I'm like a pit bull dog with a bone. I'm like, no, that's mine, and you're not taking it away from me, devil. Amen? So here's where it gets tricky. It's the evidence of things not seen. And the rest of the world will look at you and say, I can't see what you say you have. You're talking about a bunch of stuff that you have that no one else can see. And I like to use the word yet. Yeah? You may not see it yet, but I already see it in here with my spirit eyes. And see, it's just a matter of time till it manifests where you are going to have to eat your words, because that thing that's not seen is going to come to manifest itself. And everyone else will see what they couldn't see, but I could see before I could see it. It's the conviction of their reality. Now watch this. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Everything we get from God comes by faith. This word, faith, is so important. You want something to show up in your life that is a promise in the Word, you just have to believe it. It's simple, but it's hard. Because everything that you see will defy what God said. So you've got to see what God said in the face of what the enemy is defying you with. Yeah. So we crazy faith people, we just go, we comprehend it. We have conviction about it. We got a title deed for it. We have a divine guarantee for it. We got a confirmation for it. And we're just going to believe it until it shows up. We don't have to feel it. to believe it. Because we walk by faith and not our feelings. Your feelings are the biggest liars. They're wonderful because you feel the good feels, but most of the time the enemy wants you to feel the bad feels. Because then you start to believe the feelings more than you do God. Right? So let's go on. Verse 2. For by this kind of faith, the men of old gained divine approval. Before, and what they're saying, men of old, before Christ died on the cross and made a way for us to have eternal life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the debt being paid by his sinless life, men of old actually were saved prior to the keeping of the law and the shedding of blood and all of that, Abraham being one. They were saved by faith. In fact, Abraham is called the father of our faith. The Bible says he believed God, and it, what? He believed God, and it, the belief, was accounted to him as righteousness. I like that word, accounted. Any of you do accounting? When there's a deficit in your account, you want something to put in your account that balances it out. Amen? So Abraham's faith, even though he was in a sin deficit, his faith, prior to religious rituals and all of that, it was accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham was made righteous, right with God, by what? Following the law? Doing, the law had not even been given. By what? By faith. Our life is made right with God. How? By faith. Every debt that we owe is wiped out. Our account is made whole by faith. Not by knocking on a bunch of doors and handing out a bunch of tracts and getting a bunch of marks. No, it's by faith. We become the righteousness of God. That means all the rightness of God. How? By faith. In Christ. That's it. We get divine approval. We get our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We get our debts cleared. And it's a done deal. And we get it by faith. You feel, well, that's too easy. Well, for some people, it's not as easy as you think. Because man wants to do something. We want to earn it. We want to do something to make ourselves feel like we participated. Your only participation in your salvation is one thing. Faith. Amen? This is the good news of the gospel. No man can boast because we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. I love these scriptures. Amen? So, verse 3 says, by faith, that is, with an inherent trust, an enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and goodness of God. We understand that the worlds, the universe, the ages were framed and created, formed, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose, wow, by the word of God. So that what is seen now was not made out of things which are visible. So don't worship the visible. We got people worshiping the sun, worshiping the water, worshiping the moon, worshiping the trees, worshiping this. Don't worship what's seen. What's seen was created by the invisible God. Everything that is visible was created from the invisible, which means you were created in God's image. You got to go into the invisible and begin to believe the words that created the visible. And go in and get those words, even though it's invisible to you right now. And put those words in your mouth. Amen? You've got so much power. You have the power to create. Maybe not trees and water and all of those other things. But you have the power to begin to create with your words as well. I love that. And so it goes on and it says, By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Abel and Cain were Adam and Eve's sons, through which it was testified of him that he was righteous. That's Abel. Upright, in right standing with God, and God testified by accepting his gift. So I'm taking you back far. Abel had faith. And the word is recording right here that he gave an offering because he had faith in God. And I'm sure that sacrifice cost him something. Yeah? And that still speaks today. Abel was saved. The first man in the world that was saved. How? By faith. It says so right there. And though he died, yet this act of faith, by this act of faith, he still speaks. By faith that pleased God, Enoch was caught up and taken to heaven. I prayed about this for myself. So that he would not have a glimpse of death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received the testimony, still on record, that he had walked with God and pleased him. It's impossible to please God without faith. So we know Enoch walked with God. And Enoch didn't even die. The Bible says he was just taken up. How many of you would like to just be taken up? I don't want to die in the body. I just want to go on up to heaven, right? He pleased God. Watch this. So verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists. And that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Love it. You want to know about faith? Go back right there. That'll teach you most everything you need to know about biblical faith. They had faith, not in stuff, but they had faith in God. And because they had faith in God, stuff started showing up in their life. Watch. Why is faith important? This point B. Because it's a matter of life and death. Faith is a matter of life and death. And Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus about how you get into the kingdom of God and how you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Jesus quoted probably the most famous verse of all. And he's talking about himself in third person. He's telling him, who is in the upper echelon of the Jewish community, you know, very good at keeping the law, very good at rituals, very good. And those were required. But here's someone who's been doing all that but still doesn't have divine assurance in his heart that he's going to heaven. You guys understand what I'm saying? You can do all of that and still not have divine assurance. And he starts, he had read, I'm sure, in the Torah, he had read in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah. And this was the only one recorded that had the curiosity to break away from the religious order of the day and go and find Jesus. And he found him at night and he said, hey, how do we get into the kingdom of God? How does a man be saved? And Jesus tells him, you must be born again. And he's like, what? He didn't get it. So he has this discourse with him about being born again. And how, no, it's an invisible thing. It's of the spirit. You don't go back into your mother's womb and get born again. This is a spiritual birth. And so Nicodemus is curious, like, well, how do I have that? And he goes and he says this, for God so loved the world. He greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten son. He's talking about himself. He's standing there in the flesh suit, talking about his crucifixion. He's talking about the son because this man should have known he was the one. But he's telling him how to get saved. And he says he gave his son, watch, so that whoever what? Believes. Whoever has faith and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish but have eternal life. There it is. Faith is a matter of life and death. There's this whole thing of perishing or not perishing. And faith in Christ, faith in God, the object of our faith, gives you the divine insurance. It gives you the title deed. It gives you the confirmation that you will be saved. I love it when Paul says, will you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. I love it when Paul says it. But I really like it when Jesus says it. Because the Savior is telling you how to be saved. And he's saying, it's by faith. So it's a matter of life and death. So point D, God's word says that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and not by our own efforts or works. Grace alone, faith alone. Grace alone means that God loves, forgives, and saves us, not because of what we do, but because of the work of Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor, drawing you to Christ." Some of you just need to pray, because you understand, when you pray, God will begin to draw them to you, or to Christ. Yeah? So it's a favor. It's a grace. And I'm on this thing right now. There are no nuts too tough to crack. You just pray, and you just ask God to help you be more like Jesus. And one day, they're going to have faith because you're speaking it. I've done it. I'm like, "You're going to believe, you pointy little headed monster." So it's by grace. It's God's favor drawing you, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life. How? Through faith. Everybody stay on that scripture. And underline these. It's through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort. There it is. But it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God, not as a result of your works, nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation. Now, I'm going to go quick. There are five fundamentals of faith. I'm going to hit family, and football is going to be like 2 minutes, and then we're out of here. We're going to go root for our team. There are five fundamentals of faith. Number one, you got to believe in your heart. The heart is the seat of your emotions. The Bible says the heart is wicked above all things. People say, "Follow your heart. Listen to your heart." Don't listen to your heart without the Lord. Your heart will lead you all kinds of crazy places. Jeremiah said, "The heart is wicked above all things. It is deceitful, and only God knows what's in the heart, and he tests the heart." But when the Holy Spirit begins to work on you, he will come and he will put his finger on your heart. And he will say, "You know that stuff in there? I want to take it and I want to purify it. And instead of all that sitting on the seat of your emotions, I want to be the one. I want to be the Lord of this place in your life." You got to believe in your heart. Human reasoning is in the head. Faith is from the heart. And it defies human logic. This is how someone who's sitting on death row, who's truly convicted of a crime that they legitimately did, that doesn't know how anybody could ever love them, all of a sudden will get a visitation from Jesus and realize that they're still redeemable. The rest of the world may look at them and say, "They deserve to die. They deserve judgment. They deserve punishment." But God can get in there on the seat of their heart and they can repent. And I've seen it more times than you can count. There was a repentance and they realized they are broken. No one loves me. And because of what I have done, I don't love me. No one should love me. And Jesus shows up in there and says, "You're still worth redeeming because I created you. I made you. There's nothing you've done that is beyond my mercy." And it defies human logic, even your own. And it will come in, the word of God, into your heart. And it will start to work in your heart. And that word will take root. But that faith won't work in an unbelieving heart. If you refuse to believe it, it won't work. Jesus put forth the absolute law of faith. It's his classic teaching on faith when he said, "And have no doubt in your heart." He was referring to our inner man, the part of us that Peter called the hidden man of the heart. You've just got to say, "I don't know how this is going to happen, but right now I just refuse to doubt. And I believe God." The second thing you got to do is say it with your mouth. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you speak it with your mouth, you will be saved. If you speak the things that are not as though they already are, they will be one day. So we have to begin to speak it, right? The third thing is we receive it. We receive it by faith. Jesus said you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. That's Matthew 21, 22. I love it. And then the fourth thing is to speak to things that do not exist as though they do. Yes? The word of God says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed." God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That's Romans 4:17. So God wants us to call things as they should be, not how they are. Otherwise, things will just stay as they are. And when we declare the truth of God's word about our lives rather than the physical reality, it releases our faith, and our faith begins to produce the result. That's why Jesus said, speak to the mountains in your life. Command them to be thrown down. Command them to be thrown down and see what happens. Your family will think you're crazy when there's a mountain of debt. And you're saying, debt be gone in Jesus' name. Now you got to get your spending in alignment. But you know, there's things about it. When you begin to speak the word of God, God will all of a sudden start to give you the wisdom. Amen? And the supply to make it happen. But when you put your faith on something and you start to speak to it, it may look like a big mountain in your life, but those words have power. And I always say, what you talk about comes about. So if all you ever do is talk about the problem, well, they're just this, and they're just that, and they did this, and their mother made them like this, and they're like that, and their father did this, and it's like, yeah, they did. And yes, we can come to an awareness where we understand some of the propensities that we have. We call them predispositions to things because of our bloodline or because of our family or because of our culture. But if all we do is ever talk about it as victims of someone else's sin, of someone else's mistakes, of the culture that we grew up with, and we don't ever get an idea or the revelation that God has brought us out of a toxic culture and put us in the kingdom where there is health and there is wealth and there's prosperity, and we begin to talk about who we are now in the family of God and what we have here, if we don't. And say, yeah, that was then, but this is now. Because now faith is the title deed, the assurance, the confirmation of things that the world can't see. But I, you know what? God gave me eyes to see it. How many of you looked at that home or that car or that thing, that life, and it just seemed so far away, but you said yes to Jesus? I see Sabrina and today, and it's like, you said yes to Jesus, and now today you're sitting in things that you'd only dreamed about, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago. Hallelujah. It's like, because you started saying, you know what? God said I can have it. We're going to have something better than what we grew up in. Number 5 is applying corresponding action. And so I'm going to skip through this really quick because faith without works is dead, right? Faith without works is dead. And so you got to do something. You got to get up and you know, pay the bill. Give the offering. Pray. Go to church. Love, right? You do. I want to talk about family for just a very short minute. Family is so important. It's the bedrock of our world. Natural family was God's idea. In the beginning, he put Adam and Eve together, male and female, and he blessed them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply, because he wanted a family. Family is God's idea. It's important. He told them, fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, I want families that are powerful, that have authority, that know how to rule and reign in love. Sin messed that all up. God loves families, and he loves it when there's husbands and wives that love each other. The husband provides. The Bible says a man that won't provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever, worse than someone with no faith. Think about that. There it is, that faith thing again. The family and the faith. So important. God wanted a family. He said the womb is his reward. Hallelujah. But sin came in, and for many, their wombs don't work. So God created a new way to redeem the family. And Jesus, he began to introduce a new concept of family. It's called a spiritual family. And he began to shatter some prevailing notions of what it meant to be part of a family. And in fact, when he was about to die, he looks over at John, and he tells John to take care of his mother and his brothers. Somebody said to him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you one day. And he replied to them, who is my mother? And who is my brother? Who is my sister? He said, he looks over there at disciples. He looks at all of you, all of y'all who follow Jesus, all his people. And he said to them, Here, Mama Doreen, that's why I call you Mama. I got Mama Dee Dee, I got Mama Doreen, I got Mama Mary. I got all these mamas. I got all these fathers, these spiritual fathers. Pastor Glenn, Papa Glenn, Sister Gardenia. And when I was growing up in church, we had to call everybody sister and brother, and that was weird. Sister Verna. You guys grew up in that? How many of you grew up in that? The sisters and the brothers. Sister Jasmine. Yeah. But I love it. Jesus just pointed at all of us. Sister Brittany, you my sis. And Jesus said, here you are. Here's my sisters. Here's my brothers. Here's my mothers. Here's my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, these are my family. Jesus was not saying that a biological family is not important. He created the biological family. And he wasn't dismissing his mother and his brothers. He was not doing that. He was making a clear point that in the kingdom of heaven, the most important family connection is spiritual. It's not physical. And I've been in this series, My Church. It's not my church. Jesus, when he said, I'll build my church, I'll build my family, I'll build it, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Jesus looking around and saying, even to all his natural brothers, we're biological family, but I want us to be more than that. I want you to understand the will of my Father in heaven, and that is that none should perish, but that all should come to faith. Then I want you to take care of each other, because once you're born again, you're born into a new family. You have a new bloodline. It's the blood of Jesus. They say blood is thicker than water. Honey, in the kingdom, we got blood and water. We got the blood and the water. And he said this in John's gospel, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, being Jesus' name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And the most important thing in this world is not getting houses to manifest, cars to manifest, big financial, you know, bonuses to manifest. It's all good. We love that. That's the stuff that comes through relationships. That's the add-ons, right? The most important thing is not even physical healing. Those all point to him. The most important thing in this entire universe to him is your faith in him. Because it's through faith that your sin-sick soul is healed, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you are brought into the family of God, that you're connected in, that you're put into a family that has faith. That's why we're called the family of faith. You join your faith with my faith, Vanessa, and then things start to happen. Amen? That's why we need a church family that teaches the truth of God's word, that teaches all of it from Genesis to Revelation. Amen? That we can be together. The Bible says one day this whole family is going to spend eternity together, and we're going to rule and reign with him forever. So what does football have to do with this? Football has this to do. We have an opposing team. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's stuff you can see and feel. But we wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness and despot kings in high places, fallen angels that Satan brought with him when he fell and caused all this chaos. Amen? And there's spiritual forces, things we can't see that we're fighting against. And many of you know that. You've seen the attacks on your family. You've seen things that are just unusual that you can't have any other definition for, except for that there is forces working through people against what God has said for your life. And here's the good news. Jesus defeated all of them at the cross. And when he brought you in, he put you on the winning team. We are never gonna lose. It may look like it in the interim, but we've already won. We are on the winning team, amen? And so we don't have to worry about it. Come on, stand up to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are in the family of God. I pray over these loved ones. Every person listening today, watching by podcast, or listening by podcast and watching by media, that, Lord, every single one of them have allowed you, Holy Spirit, to draw them to it by faith to Jesus as Lord and Savior. I pray today as we pray this closing prayer that there won't be one person that rejects you, that, Lord, their heart will be open. They are not joining a church or a religion. They are letting you become the Lord of their life and letting you put them into your family and to save them, Lord, from eternal destruction in a place called hell. And I praise you and I thank you that no one has to ever go there because you made a way for us to escape it all by faith. And today we open our heart, all of us together, praying together for someone that may not have ever done this. And we pray right now by faith in Jesus' name. Say this, Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that you died on the cross, you were buried, and you rose again on the third day to give me eternal life. I repent of sin. I change my mind from unbelief to faith. Be the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for filling me with your Spirit. I know, come on, I know I will never be the same. In your precious name, Jesus, amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you prayed that prayer and you're in the building, come see us today. We'll pray with you. If you are not and you're watching, write us at soulharvestwc@yahoo.com and let us know how we can help you. Otherwise, you guys, prayer team will be here if you need it. Enjoy your Sunday. Pray your team wins. I know mine's going to win.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media @SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.